This is the morning brief from the Economic Times.
Google is in trouble in India. The tech giant seems to have angered a wide range of its customers and partners, from app developers to digital payment enablers to smart TV makers to most recently the country's news companies. And lawmakers, of course. The Competition Commission of India recently ordered its fourth probe on Google. This one followed a complaint from a lobbying body called the Digital News Publishers Association. The DNPA said Google was misusing its dominant position as news aggregator in denying them their fair share of advertising revenue. The company, which recently touched a market cap of $2 trillion, is also facing separate investigations related to its alleged abuse of its dominant position on Android smartphones, Google Play Store, and Android TVs.
Now to Google's Android. It's facing the heat in India. The Competition Commission of India launched a probe against Google 2 months ago. The reason is simple. CCI believed that Google abused its dominance of Android to block rivals.
The Competition Commission of India has ordered an investigation against Google on alleged abuse of dominance based on allegations by an anonymous complainant that Google's policy of mandating in-app purchases or purchase of apps to be routed through Google Play billing system and its 30% fee for such transaction hurts competition.
That is a lot of bad news. Don't forget, us users are overly reliant on the world's most powerful search engine, its biggest web browser, its most popular mobile phone operating system, and its biggest email service. Google is a part of our lives. It has been facing antitrust allegations across the world, but in the last few years, they have caught up with it in its most lucrative new market, India. Google is the king of the internet, and in this episode, we will talk about what its customers and the Indian regulators think of its market dominance and its alleged misuse, the accusations the company faces in India and the rest of the world, how it's tackling them, and most importantly, what these tech and legal wars mean for consumers, like you and me. It's the 21st of January. I'm Anirban Chaudhary, your host for today, and you're listening to Bad News for Google on The Morning Brief. Google did not respond to an email set of queries for this episode.
The latest investigation by the Competition Commission is based on the complaint which is filed by DNPA, which is the Digital News Publishers Association. The DNPA essentially includes members such as India Today, NDTV, Hindustan Times, Indian Express, and the Times of India Group.
That was Amber Sinha, Executive Director of Center for Internet and Society, a research firm on digital technology and the internet. What Amber means is Times Internet Limited, the digital and internet entity of the Times of India Group. TIL is a founding member of DNPA.
What DNPA has alleged in its complaint is that Google has been taking unfair advantage of the news content in search results and has been denying fair advertising revenues to its partners. So if you look at this in detail, Anirban, DNPA's complaint against Google relates to it occupying what is defined as a dominant position in several markets. The first is the market for online search advertising services in India. Then the second is the market for online general web search services in India, where Google has, I think, 98% share in search engine on desktop and 99% share of the mobile search engine market. Then the third is the market for online advertisement, where again, CCI has noted that Google seems to be the preferred service provider to all publishers who want to offer search and advertising services on their websites.
Do the allegations also pertain to the opaqueness in its algorithms when it determines revenue share or advertising revenue, and also the fact that it takes unilateral decisions on revenue share and the partners just have to go along with it? Is that part of the complaint?
So yeah, that is correct, Anirban. The DNPA has also alleged in its complaint that as news publishers, when they work with Google, they're not really given any information or any clear data about the amount of revenue that is earned by Google by providing advertisements on their websites, and that Google only provides them what they call a small chunk of that revenue. And one of the primary contentions in the complaint is that there is an arbitrary manner, without really disclosing any real basis for the calculation of that revenue, that Google is then distributing the revenue. And the other issue that they face is that the nature of the contract is essentially a boilerplate contract where news publishers don't really have any bargaining power. So these are unilateral contracts. It's basically a take it or leave it situation, which are essentially 100% dictated by Google. So in that scenario, they are not really in a position to bargain for a better deal for themselves. And this, they are alleging, arises out of Google having a dominant position in the market and then making unfair use of that position.
Remember here that Google gets 80% of its revenue from advertising. News organizations too get two-thirds of their revenue from ads. And therein lies the rub. Let me give you an example of how Google's brilliant spoon-feeding of information is great for us consumers, but terrible for its partners. Zero-click searches. Suppose you're looking for details on the next India versus South Africa cricket match. You punch in India versus South Africa, and voila, everything is there in front of you. The match schedule, past match details, win probabilities, in the form of something called featured snippets. What's happening here? Google is collating this information from various websites for you. You get the information you need without clicking on a single search result. Whose benefit? Yours and Google's. Whose loss? The news publishers, who put in the information together but don't get their clicks. A recent article in FinShots said that, according to the DNPA, zero search clicks are getting more popular by the day. Also in this, experts say that Google is exploiting a loophole in antitrust laws, not just in India, but across the world. We'll come to that in a bit. For now, let us move to the other probe Google is facing, on its Play Store app purchase policies. Now, Android has a 95% share of the smartphone market in India. Apple comes second with less than 4%. Naturally, Google's Play Store is the most popular app store too. Now, Google wants all app developers on its store to exclusively use its new billing system to collect payments from customers. Developers are not happy. Why? Because Google charges a commission of a whopping 15 to 30%. Also, that the billing system gives an unfair advantage to its own payment gateway, Google Pay. Basically, once the billing system is in place, you will pay for most app purchases or subscription renewals via Google Pay.
So, the root of the issue, Anirban, is essentially the high-handed and arbitrary manner in which Google is going ahead and implementing the various rules in the name of App Store policies. One such manifestation is the 30% charge they are looking at imposing on all app owners.
That's Sijo Kuruvilla George, Executive Director of the Alliance of Digital India Foundation, lobbying body of app owners such as Paytm and Matrimony.com that has taken the fight to Google on its App Store policies. Now, the flashpoint in this happened in September 2020 when Google asked app developers to accept payments only through its new payment system from September 2021.
Now, this has multiple impacts in terms of saying that the developers or the app owners are refused a choice as to what kind of billing systems and practices they can adopt. And on top of it, there is an onerous 30% commission by way of using this particular billing platform that Google is forcing. So essentially, Google is sort of using its market dominance to indulge in what we argue as anti-competitive behaviors. There are other areas as well where Google is actually hurting and harming competition and Indian startups. The ad tech is one prominent space. Even on the browser, they're looking at leveraging the market dominance of browser to extend the dominance in the market, ad space as well. So all this results in a host of anti-competitive practices, and that is the root of our challenge.
Right. So in ADIF's blog posts, this commission has been called Google tax, Google lagan. Google's defense is that it affects a very small percentage of app developers. Can you explain the math why you think a larger chunk of app developers are impacted than what is claimed by Google? And you've spoken in other posts about the other charges that they have to pay for ads, etc., which makes their expenses way higher than the commissions that they have to pay. Also, is there any comparable to this 15% or 30% commission if they go for other payment systems?
There are two, three ways of looking at it. If you look at the Google particular scenario, while the defense is that only 2% are affected, if you look at the digital revenues on the store, it's nearly 100% of the people who are generating any significant revenue via the App Store. They are the ones who are affected. And the fact that other developers, so to speak, are not affected, it's only a matter of time when the business grows and they start generating revenue, they also fall in that particular ambit. But even if the argument is true that it's only less than 2% of people who are affected, even going by that logic, it is unfair on the part of Google to actually tax those 2% for the same amount of services that they're offering to every developer or every app on the store. Why is just this 2% taxed for the benefit of the upkeep and maintenance of the store if that is Google's argument?
Sijo tells me that the payment processing fees of other apps such as Paytm or Razorpay is just 2%. Compared to Google's commission of up to 30%.
Now, if you make a comparison to payment providers and alternate payment providers, Google mounts an argument that they also offer discovery. Now, this again is a very, very good point to understand, right? Almost every app on the store, irrespective of whether they generate money by selling digital goods or not, almost every notable app on the store keeps spending on Google advertising as a way for keyword bidding and for enabling discovery on the store. Even if you look at some of those free apps, so to speak, which doesn't really charge any in-app revenues, even there, a lot of them monetize using advertisements, which again is a market in which Google actually commands a majority. So there also Google earns a commission or a percentage of the revenues that kind of apps also earn as well. So if you look at it every which way, the only reason why Google is able to get away with it is the fact that they have absolute dominance and they get to make these rules unilaterally. Our argument and submission is if users are definitely getting discovery and if it is a superior service as Google claims it to be, customers will pay for that, app owners will pay for that service. Let's open up the market, and that's the best way to resolve these price points, right? If in the market, if you open up the market to other competing players, now market forces will help discover the best prices, which is actually fair. And if Google is providing a compelling service on top of that, I'm pretty sure people will be happy to pay a premium. The reality is that Google makes these claims. At the same time, Google refuses to allow competition on their store. And that is the root of the problem, which we really need to look at and how do we solve for that.
In November 2020, the CCI started to investigate Google on the alleged anti-competitive practices. Meanwhile, a legal battle ensued between Google and ADIF. Google, however, blinked on some occasions. For instance, it halved the commission to 15% for subscription-based apps. It also pushed back the deadline for adopting its billing system twice. The latest deadline now is October 2022. Meanwhile, the CCI probe goes on. Earlier this month, the watchdog told a court that it will finish its investigation in 60 days. Speaking of which, I asked my colleague and ET's tech reporter Megha Mandavia about the regulatory angle. Basically, what's the government's stance on big tech companies allegedly flouting fair competition practices and norms in India, and how lawmakers propose to stop these alleged anti-competitive practices? This is what she said.
Anirban, as CCI is only now in the last 2-3 years looking very closely at big tech dominance in India. And people in the ecosystem say that this changed after Nirmala Sitharaman, RFM, spoke to CCI in 2019, pushing them and calling them to investigate more of abuse of dominance of big companies and foreign companies in India to protect not only consumers, but domestic and local startups. So since then, CCI has launched several investigations in Google, and Google is not the only one. There are investigations going on against Amazon, against Flipkart, against Facebook. Facebook owns WhatsApp. So a lot of investigations are going on in that space. So CCI 2019 is what people call the 2.0 of CCI, where CCI is right now doubling down on investigating big tech companies.
Is the CCI and the structure of Indian antitrust laws equipped to tackle problems of this misuse of dominance by big tech firms like Google, you think?
The question is not about whether law is equipped. The question is whether CCI, the manpower, is equipped. These investigations are pretty complex, and most of the manpower at CCI may not well understand how algorithms work, right? If Google or Facebook end up giving them like 100 pages of algorithms, how well will they be able to understand these algorithms and understand how they end up abusing dominance? So that's where the issue lies.
There are other deeper issues. Laws governing antitrust issues in India are way more recent than, say, markets in the US, where they have existed for over a century. And the laws in India are limited, says Amber.
The first Indian legislation which looked at competition issues was one to govern monopolies, and that was the Monopolies and Restrictive Trade Practices Act of 1969. This was later repealed in the 1980s, replaced by a Competition Act, and the current version of this law only goes back to 2002. And this law primarily prohibits agreements which cause or are likely to cause an appreciable adverse effect on competition within India. That's how this is worded in the law. So the Indian law essentially prohibits, you know, a few different kinds of monopolies, where there are agreements to determine prices, or agreements to limit supply, agreements to share a market, and agreements to engage in collusive bidding.
In other words, criteria that don't completely cover what Google and many other big tech firms are accused of. Here's more.
So this is, you know, what we describe not as a structural approach to competition law, but a consumer welfare approach, which focuses mainly on low price.
Not just low price, but free services. But not for everyone, right? For consumers like you and me, almost all of what we consume on Google is free. But for app developers and advertisers, the services are not.
Now, if you look at big tech companies, they often rely on what we call two-sided markets. So what this means is that there are two distinct user groups. And when those user groups are brought together, they provide each other with new network benefits. And in the case of digital services, what happens is that consumers are both the source of data as well as the product. The advertisers are the customers who provide the market's revenue, and they largely depend on the scale of the market.
This, simply put, is what we have heard several times before. We, one side of Google's market, are the consumers of data, but we are also huge sources of it. Our profiles, personal histories and preferences, medical and even financial details are constantly fed to Google and through it to advertisers or companies, which for Google constitute the other side of the market. We are paying Google and advertisers in data. The advertisers, on the other hand, are giving Google its largest chunk of revenue.
So when we deal with two-sided or multi-sided markets in digital technologies, only one side needs to function as the profit center, and the other side services are largely subsidized. So one side of that market, essentially, price becomes a completely irrelevant criteria to look at. So free online services pay for themselves through their access to tradable personal data, preferences, and profiles of the consumers, which is essentially the product for the other side of the market, where the customers are advertisers. Now, all of this was considered by the 2019 Competition Law Committee report, and that recognizes this challenge. And what it suggests is emulating the German model, where services, when they are being provided free of charge, is not sufficient to say that the market doesn't exist. So I think what we will see gradually is that more and more regulators will struggle to rein in the power of big tech companies simply by relying on the idea of consumer welfare as it draws from low prices, or in this case, you know, free services. And they will have to rely on a more structural idea of antitrust regulation.
One way to understand Google's market dominance is to study how it uses its leadership in an existing business to influence and grow its dominance in an emerging one. So the company started as a search engine and gradually became a dominant player in all things internet. Then it used that position to offer alternatives to already existing digital services such as emails, digital photos, maps and calendars. And then it piggybacked on its leadership position in those segments to get into other additional segments, such as smartphones and applications. This is something called network effect. Others, such as Amazon, have followed that path too. Now, it'll come as no surprise that Google is no stranger to antitrust cases across the world. It is, for instance, fighting a 4.34 billion euro fine imposed on it by the European Union in 2018 for alleged anti-competitive practices.
In other headlines we're watching, Google was fined 500 million euros after ignoring a 2020 French regulatory order to negotiate fair agreements with news sources for putting their content on its platform.
36 states, including New York, California, and Utah, and the District of Columbia, are suing the tech giant over claims its app store abuses its market power.
Australia has passed a new law that requires digital platforms to pay local media outlets to link to their content in news feeds or in search results.
We know the big app stores are under fire, and the latest heat here is coming from South Korea. Lawmakers there recently moving forward a bill preventing companies from requiring developers to use their online payment systems when making in-app purchases.
And Google is obviously not alone in being embroiled in antitrust issues. For instance, Facebook earlier this week partially lost a case in the US that accused it of using users' data to stifle competition. Apple has been, along with Google, opposing antitrust bills proposed in the US. Amazon has its own wrangles with India's competition watchdog. It was last month actually fined 202 crore rupees by the CCI. So I asked my guests two things. One, why should we as consumers enjoying Google's free services be bothered?
We may not see the direct impact of alleged abuse of dominance because we don't directly deal with Google. But we deal with the companies that work with Google. For example, if the startups in India have to start paying 15 to 30% or even 10 to 20% commission to Google Play Store for every transaction, they will end up increasing the prices. For example, one startup told me that if they have to take in and pay 30% commission to Google for every transaction on their app, they will have to double the prices. And that's when the consumer gets hit, right? If news publishers are not making enough money and you know are losing out on ad revenue, allegedly to Google, then a lot of these press publications will shut down, and that will impact freedom of expression and press in India.
More critically, over a period of time, and that is where the long-term interest of the market may not be best served, over a period of time, this commissions will result in lesser money in the hands of developers. That will result in lesser investments by them in terms of improving the products and services. And over a period of time, that will result in substandard offerings or lack of better services to you as a consumer.
Secondly, this. How do we see the future? So what if Google decides not to implement its billing system from October? And that's a small win. But it is a small win, right? I mean, even if there's a penalty, it's small change for Google. So what is a larger solution to this?
Right, Anirban, you're right. These fines only do as much as maybe, you know, a rap on the wrist. It's pocket change for companies like Google or Facebook or Amazon. The issue lies with the way the market is structured. Most of the times, it's a winner-take-all market. As it works on network effects, more users lead to more advertisers, lead to more content leads. You know, it kind of feeds into its circle. Like Android is a dominant player, therefore Play Store becomes dominant. Therefore, you know, startups become dependent on Play Store. And then they use other rules to increase their dominance. Well, they'll say, okay, you know, you only pre-install these apps and don't install the other competing apps, which then makes them even more dominant in that space. So as you rightly said, that fines may only do as much. And I think not in India, but globally, countries are also trying to understand how they can solve this problem. Would it lead to breaking up of the big tech companies where, you know, maybe if Google is broken down, then maybe the Android will be a different company, search engine will be different, Play Store will be different. So would that help? Or, you know, maybe we need to write a different set of laws for these companies, because these are business models are very different from what CCI or other antitrust regulators abroad are used to.
For many of us, Google is a way of life. Almost all that we know and consume, how we travel and communicate, and even transact, happens through one or the other tool in its vast digital empire, one of many in the big tech universe. There is, however, a fast dawning realization across the world that we are being reduced to mere subjects in those empires. Or as Yuval Noah Harari said, tiny chips inside a giant system nobody understands. Now, there are concerted efforts across the world at preventing such a state of subjugation. India, its tech entrepreneurs, and its lawmakers are late entrants to that game. Whether they succeed depends on how quickly they learn the rules and make some of their own. That's all for today. You were listening to Bad News for Google on The Morning Brief. Producers: Nehal Chaliawala from The Economic Times and Swati Joshi from Awaaz. Sound editor: Saundarya Jayachandran from Awaaz. Executive producer: Arijit Barman. Please write to us at themorningbrief@timesgroup.com and share your feedback. The Morning Brief airs every Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday. Thank you and have a good one. All clips used in this episode belong to their respective owners. Credits are mentioned in the description.